welcome everybody to another Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Brett Dawson. I'm not at the Air Canada Center because I brought the wrong equipment with me to the Air Canada Center. So I'm back at my hotel because I needed a different set of headphones. But the Thunder, while I was over there, beat the Toronto Raptors 132-125. Eric Horn is with me to talk about it. He's in Oklahoma City. And Eric, before we get started, let me tell you what I'm not going to do on this podcast.
It might be the same thing that I'm not going to do, yeah. And I was going to open with it, and I think that you're going to say the exact same thing I am.
Yes.
But Go ahead.
If you think, listeners, and we love you, if you think I'm apologizing for saying the Thunder would lose, you can do what Carmelo Anthony tells people to do when he gets a rebound.
F-O-H.
F-O-H.
F-O-H. Okay, but I was actually going to issue an apology. You stole my thunder.
Right.
I was going to issue an apology. Because for in the TV listings, time and info stuff that we do every game, I wrote that they were playing at the Rogers Center. That is 100% wrong. That is also a Canadian place.
It is.
But it is not the Air Canada Center. I believe the Rogers Center is where the Blue Jays play.
It's the former SkyDome, formerly known as SkyDome.
So, look, frankly, I thought the Thunder had a better chance of beating the Blue Jays playing in the Rogers Center than they did of beating a team who had lost all of five games at home this season.
And had won 11 straight and was playing amazing. And by the way, played great today. And like,
yes, they also played well tonight.
I'm not going to throw a lot of asterisks in. They didn't have Fred VanVleet, which matters, but doesn't, you know, I don't think he would have won them the game tonight. The Thunder played great. They played great as well.
Hey, Brett, you know who the Thunder didn't have? Andre Robertson. How about that one, okay?
That is true. Exactly. Yeah, everybody has some guys out. So this is not like – and it doesn't matter that Kyle Lowry fouled out. He had every chance to not foul out. He fouled out.
Yeah, and he made stupid fouls.
Paul George fouled out and didn't. So, you know.
Yes, and he changed the game. So, look, we're not apologizing. I told everyone on the podcast – either I told everybody on the podcast or I told Brett that – look, I thought the Thunder was going to play well. They always play well in Toronto. They don't play poorly when they go up there. I had full confidence that they would go up there and play well. It would have been stupid for me to go on the record and say that they were definitely going to win in Toronto. That would have just been stupid.
Right.
So we don't work for the team.
Correct.
If you want me to go ahead and say the Thunder's going to win the rest of these 10 games, you're going to call me an idiot when they lose, you know, 6 of 10 because they're playing a really hard schedule.
Correct.
So, like, I'm not gonna say that the Thunder's gonna win a game just to appease the fans. But okay, let's put that aside. That's absolute nonsense. Tremendous basketball game. I'm extremely jealous you got to witness it firsthand. Just one of the most wonderful games we've seen in the NBA this season.
I think it was the best game that I've seen this year. I think it was the best Thunder game of the year. And that's not the same as saying it's the best win. Winning at Golden State is great. You know, Golden State is Golden State. They were very impressive that night. They played great. But I think in terms of just the best game, most fun game to watch start to finish, so back and forth. I don't think they were ever separated by more than 4 points until the very end when everybody on the Raptors lost their damn minds, which whatever, I understand why they did. But like until then, I think it was never really more than 4 points for either side the whole fourth quarter. And the atmosphere here is amazing. Carmelo Anthony said one of the best places in the league to play because it is weird here. It is kind of like the whole country loves the Raptors and they have such a thing about them. You know, they all feel so disrespected and they all feel like everybody's kind of out to get them, and they rally around the team so much, and it was so loud in there, and it rocked and the whole thing was going. And for the Thunder to make a bunch of plays in that setting, particularly Westbrook, who we'll get to in a minute, but that was just an awesome thing to watch. It was just a really fun environment, and it was like every time you thought, oh wow, the Thunder's got, now they're up four, maybe they'll get a little cushion, Toronto would hit a three. Both teams just made so many plays.
So much good from this Thunder win that we'll talk about. You know, the biggest lead I think the Raptors got was probably 10, 11 points. That's when the Thunder's bench was just absolutely abysmal.
Yep, and the Raptors had the best bench in the league, FYI. Just like as an aside to that, the Thunder does not.
Yeah, tremendous, tremendous bench.
Yeah. Thunder was up as much as 9, Raptors up as much as 10.
Yeah, DeLon Wright was great. CJ Miles was CJ Miles dunking on people.
Oh my
like,
gosh.
Where did that come from?
Poor Patrick Patterson comes back to Toronto, and CJ Miles is like, "Have some of this."
Yeah, and you know, two athletic bigs and Pascal. I can't say his last name. And Nogueira said that wrong too, probably.
Siakam.
But just a wonderfully played basketball game. Just two teams playing at their highest level. And, you know, despite some refereeing snafus that we'll get to, this game turned out to be one of the best in the league this year.
I did not think the Thunder would win, and as I said, I don't apologize for that. That's what reasonable people would have thought. They wouldn't win. The one place I will say I was real bad wrong, and I wasn't bad wrong on the loss. They won a close game. I thought this would be hideous. I thought it would be really sluggish to start because it was so early. But
yes.
I think that's how – now, you could argue that maybe the defenses were just sluggish, and that's why everybody shot 80% the whole game. But I think it really was just two teams that are kind of – you know, the Raptors are hot, and the Thunder is kind of needs to get there. And I think it's just two teams who today – and this could change on Tuesday – but they looked like they were kind of gearing up for the playoffs, these two teams. They looked really ready to go.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even necessarily say that the defense was bad.
I don't think it was that bad.
I thought that the second unit's defense was worse than the first unit's.
Yeah.
And you usually have some gripes about Westbrook and Melo. I thought the second unit let those guys get away with getting a lot of open shots. I mean, Nogueira was getting free runs to the rim when Jeremy Grant wasn't stopping him. He scored in transition off of nobody touching him. He got a drive to the rim where Jeremy Grant took a bad step. But I didn't think that the three-point defense was particularly bad. I just thought the Raptors were just making shots.
Yeah,
Kyle Lowry was hitting some deep threes. I mean, Russell Westbrook pulled up from 28 feet on the break. It's just like, what are you going to – it was a terrible shot when he took it, but it went in, so you're like, all right.
Yeah, it was one of those nights for Westbrook. Days. I keep calling it a night. We're such creatures of habit that it is hard to say day about a game. You'll notice players and coaches do the same thing. They called it tonight repeatedly. Nobody said today.
Now we should start with Russell Westbrook because aside from that three, I don't think he took a bad shot. That three. I mean, look, Westbrook's gonna have his share of turnovers in the game because of just him having the ball so much. I didn't have a problem with really any of his turnovers.
Yep.
That three was the only shot that I really had a problem with.
By the way, on turnovers, five of them, one in the second half, none in the fourth quarter.
Just it was the game that you want from Russell Westbrook against the best teams in the most dire of circumstances where you need baskets when the other team is making baskets and you need baskets. It was the best Russell Westbrook performance of the season.
I think so too. I didn't go back and look at like the game log, but like, you know, last year you could remember, oh, this game and this game, and oh, maybe Dallas was better, but oh, maybe Orlando was better. He doesn't have as many games like that. That's just the nature of this team, that he's not going to have a lot of 40 and 50 point triple doubles anymore. That's just not, it's not asked of him to do that anymore. So they're not as memorable, but this one I think is going to stand out. This is one you're going to remember. Remember when he went off in that fourth quarter in Toronto?
He was tremendous, man. Just, 37 points, I guess, 13 rebounds, 14 assists?
13 rebounds, 14 assists.
And Steven
15
Adams
22, that's the other thing.
Just outstanding. And, you know, 17 points in the fourth quarter. He hits Abrinas for the big three-point, for the assist on the three-pointer.
Two three-pointers out of Abrinas in the fourth quarter. Abrinas rolling in the fourth quarter lately.
Billy Donovan has turned Alex Abrinas into this fourth quarter weapon. He basically doesn't play him until the fourth quarter in the past like three or four games, and then Alex Abrinas just comes off the bench and just hits three-pointers cold. I can't explain it. I won't attempt to explain it on the podcast right now, but it's working. But I mean, back to Westbrook, just God almighty. Like, Steven Adams had a great quote after the game. I saw it in the postgame notes. He said Westbrook did a great job of probing the defense.
Yeah, and snaking.
In the pick and roll.
He said snaking, too. Like,
yeah,
snaking.
And he is. He's really, really good at that.
Yeah.
When he and Adams get in the pick and roll, sometimes Westbrook can do this thing where he kind of snakes in front of Adams.
Yep.
And it throws the defense off for a split second. And sometimes he'll throw the lob back behind him when he snakes in front of him.
Yep.
He didn't do that necessarily tonight or today, but he was patient. He didn't force that pass in the fourth quarter. He kind of did the snaking thing, and then he kind of waited around to see what would develop.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden he would burst, get to the rim, or he would just kick it, or he'd come back out and start over. But it was just this perfect balance from Westbrook in that fourth quarter. Where some people would say, okay, he scored 13 straight for the Thunder. He's a ball hog. Yada, yada. No, it really fed into Westbrook's cliche thing that he always says, like he's just reading the game.
Reading and react.
And he's,
read and react.
Yeah, read and react.
The game will tell you what you need to do.
And the game was telling Russell Westbrook to take over.
Yeah.
And he took over, and he scored at the rim at will. He made that crazy three-pointer. And that dagger where he hits the bank shot from the left wing over Serge.
Impossible bank shot. I mean, it was just such a hard.
But it's not impossible.
No.
Because we've seen him hit that shot so many times when he's in his groove. When he's in his flow, he's great at that shot. That's a Scottie Pippen shot.
Yeah.
He's great at that shot.
The other the interesting thing, and I want to go back and watch the game maybe tomorrow. I got to travel tomorrow, so I may not get a chance to. But one of the things Carmelo Anthony said after the game is, if you look at the way the Raptors were defending, and he said they talked about this during a timeout in the fourth quarter. He said, look, they're not going to leave me, and they're not going to leave Paul. They're staying home because they don't want us to make threes. And Carmelo had shot the ball very well. Paul had not. He didn't make a three, although I think he did make a three, but that's a long story. That end of the first half thing I think was a three, but the referees left too early to review it, so they couldn't review it. Oddity.
Oh yeah, that was comical.
But anyway, they were staying home, and like Carmelo said, that's what, if you're Russell Westbrook and defenders are staying out on those two guys on the perimeter, well now you're getting in a situation with Steven Adams. It's you and Steven Adams in a pick and roll without a crowd. You're going to get going downhill. Of course, that's what you want. You want him to do that all the time. If he can get in that situation in the fourth quarter, why would he pass to those guys for more difficult shots? Let him go.
Yeah, and he had perfect read of that defense in the fourth quarter. And then in the beginning of the game with Steven Adams, just, I think, making what, his first seven shots from the field,
man,
or something like that. He just dominated.
Yeah.
Jonas.
He had 14 in the first quarter, and Steven Adams might've, I mean, like if not for the fact that like the Thunder's never going to run, like they're never going to get Steven Adams like 25 shots. It just doesn't really happen. And they're never going to run that much pick and roll, although I wonder why they didn't just run pick and roll with Adams and Westbrook on every play. And then occasionally just go, we're going to run it with Paul George now. Just run Adams pick and rolls, because the Raptors had no answer for it at all. But if he hadn't gotten dinged up a couple of times and gotten a little out of rhythm, he might have – I mean, he had 25 anyway. His career high was only 27. He might have had the best scoring game of his career had it not been for – he tweaked an ankle and had to leave for a little while, and then Serge got him in the Kiwis, and he had to leave the court for a little bit there too.
We were due Steven Adams shot to the groin.
Yep.
It's been too long.
Yep.
I can't recall the last game he got hit in the nuts, but like, it's been too long.
Yeah.
And when it happened, I was like, "Ooh, man, I hope he's okay." But at the same time, I was like, "Yeah, he'd been too long without a groin shot. This was coming."
That did not look very comfortable, is the way Billy Donovan put it. That's a grand understatement in the Billy Donovan tradition.
Billy, you know what didn't look comfortable? Florida's closing performance last night in the NCAA.
Man,
yeah,
those guys, troublesome. What a weird tournament. That's a whole other show. By the way, that does point out a really fun thing that happened in the locker room today. Was the Syracuse game was on while the Thunder guys were getting ready and getting ready to go, and Carmelo Anthony was so into it. If you watch the videos on the website at newsok.com and Paul George's interview post game, you hear a point where Carmelo yells, "That's an and-one," like really loud, as Paul George, and Paul George just like turn around and look at the TV because Carmelo was so into it. And then Carmelo got mad at Jeremy Grant, his fellow former Syracuse forward, because Jeremy Grant wasn't excited enough. So he started calling Jeremy Grant Georgetown. You all right over there, Georgetown? Because that's their big rival. He was very upset that Jeremy Grant wouldn't join him in all his excitement, all his exuberance about Syracuse. It was a fun post game. They were very funny in the locker room. I can't say everything that they said, but the college stuff, there's a lot of college trash talk about their schools.
Yeah, I mean, they had every reason to probably be excited after
after
that,
you know,
after a win like that.
Carmelo said that this is like, because I asked Carmelo, like, you know, these guys, they never lack for confidence. You asked them a couple weeks ago about, you know, the playoffs, and Paul George gave an answer like the missing the playoffs was not even in the realm of possibility. They don't get rattled very easily about stuff, even when they're losing, and you kind of want them to be like, hey, we got to get serious. They don't really do that. They're a very confident team. So I asked him, it's not like you need confidence, but does a win like this do something as you're just trying to build some momentum? And he said it was a great win for them and one of their best wins of the year, and it was a thing that got them excited because this is the time of the year where you want to do this. These guys don't care a lot about some of the games they've lost. They don't worry about the games they lost early in the year, but they're locking in now. And the thing about this group is that, you know, Carmelo's been to a conference finals. Paul George has been to two. Westbrook's been to the finals. They've got playoff experience, and they do look right now, and it's, again, the way this team operates, we don't know if it'll last, but they've looked the last couple of games in particular, the last two games of this win streak, they have looked like a team that figured it. That's like, okay, this is, it's time to get serious. It's time to buckle down.
And we conveniently forget this because he was picked up basically off the waivers, but Corey Brewer won an NBA championship, man.
Yeah.
I completely forgotten about that until Dwayne Casey mentioned that today.
Yeah.
Corey Brewer is an NBA champion. He is the NBA champion on the roster. So,
yeah. Like, yeah, that's right. And Dwayne Casey talked about it today about the, in a series they had with the Lakers, and they didn't do it the whole series, he said, but they did it in a game where they threw Corey Brewer on Kobe Bryant and said, just like, use all the energy and make Kobe use energy and just kind of try to wear him down. And they won the game. And he said it was a lot of credit to Corey Brewer for that. And again, it wasn't like the whole series thing, but he said in that one game, he's so relentless. And as he said, it, you know, he called him an energy rabbit, which cracked me up. I could not stop laughing about energy rabbit. It's like the generic form of Energizer Bunny. But yeah, he raved about Corey Brewer and that attitude and that relentlessness and that effort and the job he had done there. So yeah, and he does have a lot of playoff experience, and it turns out he's like a really good player.
Yeah, look, once again, another strong Corey Brewer performance tonight. You had some great Twitter observations about the corner. I mean, obviously Corey Brewer in the corner has just become this phenomenon in itself, because
it's incredible.
The guy is just, his corner 3-point numbers are just out of this world right now.
I mean, Steven Adams missed a layup at one point. Got the ball back, kicked it out to Corey Brewer in the corner, and you thought, oh, well, finally a good shot. Forget the Steven Adams layup. Here's the Corey Brewer corner three. That's a good shot. That's a shot I can get behind. Yeah.
And I thought he was going to pull it, but somebody was really close to him. I think defended him really close. I was like, pull that, Corey Brewer. That's your shot. Like,
yeah. I really wanted him to pull it off the when he missed his own layup and got it and dribbled out to the corner. I really wanted him to pull that one. That would have been amazing. He had some drunken dribbler moments. He had a drunken defender moment. DeRozan broke his ankles on a play. But he plays so hard. And the play to me, you know, of all the stuff that Westbrook did was incredible. The play that stood out to me of all the non-Westbrook plays is that play where Paul George turns the ball over. DeRozan's got the ball. Paul George busts his ass to get back into that play. And not only get back there, but he kind of steers DeRozan into help from Brewer, and Brewer steals the ball.
Yeah, and they end DeRozan up DeRozan loses the handle.
Yep. Yep.
And then Corey Brewer just pounces on it, and they get two free throws.
Right. And actually ended up with three free throws. Adams missed the third one because he got Ibaka fouled him on the rebound.
Offensive rebound. And that was the Thunder's one turnover in the second half.
Yeah.
That was their one turnover, and they basically negated it by turning them immediately over.
Yeah.
So can't really say enough about that. Look, the Raptors made shots. The Raptors made a ton of shots. The Thunder starters were phenomenal, and you can go look at the plus minus on it.
Yeah, the first the first quarter, the starter shot 17 of 18. They missed, it's insane. They missed six shots in the first quarter, and Josh Huestis missed four, which is so weird.
Yeah,
because like randomly, Josh Huestis had four shots.
Yeah, one of them was a heave, and two of them were on the same possession. It was a corner three off of great Steven Adams pass, and Steven Adams found him again on a cut. Huestis made a great cut, but he just couldn't make the lefty hook shot.
Yep.
So, like, basically, all right, throw the heave out, whatever. But those two shots.
And really, throw the other one out, too, because they gave him two attempts on that putback. That's how he missed four in the first quarter. Like, I thought he only really took one there. I thought that only should have been one shot, but they gave him two.
It might have been. I mean, considering how incredibly the Raptors shot, this might have been the best game the Thunder played all season.
It could be. I mean, you know, the Golden State game, it's weird to say of the Golden State games that they weren't, they played great, but Golden State also didn't play great. And that's not to take anything away from the Thunder. The Thunder made them play not great in part. You know, like, part of that is on the Thunder. That's their credit to their defense. But, like, Golden State can have those games where you can play great defense and they still make shots. And this was a night like that today. I mean, this was a game like that for Toronto today. The Thunder's defense was fine for the most part. They had some breakdowns. Yeah. Everybody has some breakdowns. But they played really well. The Clippers played really well. The last two teams they've played are one is a good team, one is a very good team, and they both played really well, and the Thunder won. I think that is not insignificant.
Yeah, and there's just so many things that were going on at the end of that game that the Thunder did better than the Raptors probably in that last 2 minutes to get themselves out of that game.
Yep.
The Thunder didn't turn the ball over.
Yep.
They didn't freak out when everything started getting crazy, and the Raptors just imploded.
Except Carmelo got that. Carmelo got that technical. That was the one.
Okay, Carmelo got a tech. Yeah, Melo got a tech.
Yeah, that one was, but, you know, that was pretty obvious. He didn't. We're sitting upstairs, and I was like, oh, Melo's going to get. Yep, he got one.
Yeah. But meanwhile, the Raptors implode, and the Thunder just walks away with free throws. And
yeah. It's not fair at all, but, like, watching that game is why I'm still like, I can't say Toronto's going to win the East until, like, they got to do it. They got to get it done in the playoffs. It's why I still have some questions. And there's no doubt they're a great team. They're 52-18. They're 29-6 at home. They're a great team. But, you know, they just got to show me something in the postseason, because games like this make you wonder, you know, like, we'll see.
Yeah, because, like, okay, let's say they play the Heat in the first round. I mean, they'll beat the Heat just on sheer, you know, talent and just ability. But let's say they get in a second-round series with Washington.
Right.
And they get and John Wall comes back.
Yep.
Or they get into a second-round series with Philly. And they got to play physical basketball against Philly or Washington. And they get Joel Embiid in their head. Like, Joel Embiid is going to fry Jonas. He's going to fry Jonas. Like,
I mean, they
what if they get in a physical series with a team like that?
Like, they had nothing for Steven Adams tonight. The Thunder got 14 offensive rebounds in a game that it shot 57% or 56%. You know, they controlled those offensive rebounds. They got big rebounds. They out-rebounded them. It wasn't like a huge margin. It's 39-31 in total rebounds. But again, that's a situation where both teams made a ton of shots, so there weren't a ton of available rebounds. And the Thunder pretty much controlled the rebounds. And Steven Adams just, they have no answer for guys like that. Now, there aren't that many guys like that, but Philly's got one.
Yeah,
you know, in terms of just difficulty to handle. They're different players, but I mean, just in terms of like how hard a guy it is to handle, Embiid is like Adams.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Toronto handles physicality and adversity, because as we said, the Thunder's been in a ton of playoff series.
Yep.
They have a physical center that is great in the pick and roll. Joel Embiid is also a similar guy.
Yep.
I mean, obviously better offensive skill set than Steven Adams.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of waiting to see what Toronto does in a playoff series before I crown them the East champs.
Yep.
Because
the other thing is, in the playoffs, like, the one thing Toronto's, I mean, their bench is awesome. Those guys are really good.
Yeah.
And that's such a great collection of players that fits really well together. But they are minimized a little in the playoffs. I mean, they are going to, even if you don't shorten the bench minutes, like, the other team's going to, and now those guys are playing against starters more if you're playing them the same number of minutes. So that huge advantage that they have, and it is a giant advantage, as we saw in the second quarter today, it gets a little minimized. Like, you know, if you get into a series with Cleveland, LeBron's playing a ton of minutes. That's just going to happen.
Yeah. But how about that officiating?
Wow. So, a weird day. We got the Paul George thing was odd. That's a rule I didn't know existed. The three-pointer that they couldn't review, which I didn't even realize from our seats you couldn't tell. So I learned,
it was the three-pointer from the corner, right?
I learned after the fact that, like, people were telling me it was clearly a three. Like, I never saw – I've actually still never seen a replay of that shot.
It looked –
much like the officials, I never saw a replay of that shot.
Right. Like, it looked like he stepped into the corner. I mean, and Paul George knows his footwork.
Yeah, and
so
he had – it was a pronounced step back. He did not want to shoot a two because he had a clean look. He could have just shot it. He wanted to back up to the three-point line.
Yeah, it was pretty clear what he was doing. So I thought it was a three all the way, and then they called it a two. So I was like, oh, well, me just being negligent reporter was like, oh, well, I'm sitting at home.
Yeah.
I guess it's a two.
Yeah.
And then I check Royce Young's Twitter feed, and he's talking about how they can't review a three-pointer or a two-point call if they left the floor. So – nice work.
Yeah.
Nice work, officials. Just another thing to add to the Rolodex of things that happened this weekend, which Drew Fine's out of Thunder's obviously not going to get fined for that, but
Dwayne Casey
DeMar DeRozan's going to
get fined. He's probably going to get fined because there was foul language. He said that Corey Brewer fouled the bleep out of him on that play. Corey Brewer did foul him, I think, based on the one replay I've seen. He might have had a little bit of something from DeMar before that. Like, a little bit of a push, but nothing bad. You know, like, if I'm doing the last 2 minutes, I might say that should have been a call just to, like, level things out a little bit. But that call is not a call that's made all the time. The Brewer fouling him is, like, when the last 2 minutes comes out, they're going to be like, yep, that was a foul.
But you see, this is the problem of the last 2 minute report, because of exactly what you just said. oh, when the last 2 minutes comes out, they're going to say that they can even it out by saying DeMar DeRozan's was a foul.
Right.
It's like doing a crossword in pencil.
Yeah. Right.
Like you can go back after the fact and be like, oh, well, you know, I meant this, and then you just show everybody, look, I got this crossword 100% right. No, man, like, it's this faux transparency.
Right.
It's not real transparency because you can just basically go back and say, oh, well, what about this call that nobody's talking about? This is one we got right.
Right.
Or something like that.
Last 2 minute, I'm increasingly come around to the idea that the last 2 minute report is stupid. It's just dumb. It doesn't do anybody any good.
It's a joke. It's a joke. It pisses off the refs. It makes all the fans mad because whoever's team got screwed is just going to look at it and say, oh, well, this was an obvious call that should have went our way didn't go our way.
And
the league is just rubbing it in our face.
Right, yeah, that's the thing.
And then it's just going to get guys like, fine.
Right. You don't get any satisfaction out of it. It's like, big deal. It's not like they come back and say, okay, you know, DeMar DeRozan got fouled, so we get to start back at that point and he gets to shoot free throws. Or it's not like they say, Giannis stepped out, and so we replay that or whatever. That's, who cares? Like, you're wrong.
Right.
And I hate to use Draymond Green as an example of sanity and thoughtfulness, although sometimes he is quite thoughtful. And his thoughts on this are right. It's just like, who cares that you got this? You know, like, who cares? You could have blown a call in the second quarter that made just as big a difference because it could have shifted momentum in the game. Like, that call's just
like,
as important.
Like the Paul George 3.
Right, exactly. If they lose the game by one, last 2 minutes not going to touch that Paul George 3.
Right.
But it's going to have impacted the outcome of the game.
Yeah. So it doesn't make sense that you're putting precedent over the last 2 minutes of a game, which, by the way, they're basically starting the measurement of the last 2 minute report arbitrarily because, I mean, what if a team's up by six as opposed to three in the last 2 minutes.
Yeah, like, right. Yeah, that's like when they talk about college basketball and they're like, they got four top 50 wins. And it's like, well, what if they beat number 51 and 52? Like, how big a difference is that? It's kind of the same thing, yeah. Because, like, there was a close game recently where that happened. There was no last 2 minute. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go check the last 2 minute from last night. But I remembered that it actually it stayed within, like, six instead of five.
Yeah,
like that's less important. 6 points in an NBA game.
1 point. Yeah, 1 point.
Yeah, like that's still a very close NBA game. Yeah, it's dumb. The last 2 minute is dumb, and it has not given the Thunder any satisfaction to hear, you know, that Karl Towns moved on the screen and Giannis Antetokounmpo stepped out, and it's not going to give DeMar DeRozan anything tomorrow when he learns that Corey Brewer fouled him because he already knows it. He said it. He cursed. He'll probably get fined.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, shout out to Alvin Gentry too for getting his fine on this weekend.
15K lighter in that wallet. He's
Stan Van Gundy got some too.
Doc Rivers last week got some. Doc Rivers was in Oklahoma City and he said he told the league office just try to give that money to an anti gun control charity. they don't really get any say, Doc said, but he still likes to ask. He likes to request that the charity, the money goes where he asks it to go.
Because
it does all go to charity. It's just that the league picks the charities.
Yeah, and they don't disclose which charities they go to.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's one more game on this. One of these weird Thunder road trips. They've had a lot of these weird one and two off trips. So they go to Boston. I don't know who's going to play for Boston. Nobody's playing for Boston anymore. I don't know what their situation is. I actually don't know what's happening with them right now. They are playing tonight, and I don't know who all's playing. But I think walking away from going into this trip, I think you felt like if they split, this is good. This is the two best teams in the East, whether or not Boston is actually going to have enough pieces to be the actual second best team in the East. But by record, they're the two best teams in the East. I think if you talk about a two-game road trip where you're playing the top two teams in a conference, a split is a great situation. If you sweep, boy, that is a terrific trip.
And look, everybody that's invested in the Thunder right now, in terms of their playoff standing, look, the Thunder's just got to win games.
Yeah.
Because basically, every team that's underneath them right now probably has them in a tiebreaker scenario except for San Antonio and the Clippers.
Utah, which is making a push right now. That could wind up being important.
That's majorly
important. Yeah. They could very easily end up. They are very close right now at 4-5, and they could end up that way.
Yeah, you know, Minnesota and New Orleans have tiebreakers. San Antonio's 7, and the Thunder still has one more game against them where if they beat them, the Thunder will have a tiebreaker. So the Thunder just needs to keep winning games until they can get up against San Antonio again and maybe get another tiebreaker situation. Like, they can't worry about anybody else. Their destiny's in their own hands right now, and right now they're doing what they're supposed to do. It's crazy to think about this, but the Thunder was at one point 2-10 on the road this season.
Yeah.
And now they're 18-18 with a chance to go above 500 on the road.
Yeah.
I think for the first time this season, they have not been above 500 on the road all season.
That's crazy. They're also a season high. They're a season high over 500 now as well.
Yeah.
At 43-29, that is their new high.
It's stunning considering where this team was, after Robertson's injury.
Yeah, and even coming out of the break, watching them like struggle to beat Sacramento and Orlando, but they won those games, which they weren't doing early.
Right.
And that's the thing; you just rack up wins. Look, Denver is fighting for its playoff life, and it lost to Memphis. Like at this stage of the season, just don't lose.
We talked about this before. Just the boost that Corey Brewer has given them.
Yeah. It really matters.
I think psychologically he's given them a big boost because I don't know if these guys were all the way in after that Robertson injury.
Yeah.
I think it took I didn't think anything of it until I saw Corey Brewer get into the starting lineup.
Yeah.
And when you see Corey Brewer get into the starting lineup, you're like, whoa, these dudes might not have been playing as much juice as we thought they were.
We can say like, oh, look at the way they pass the ball to Terrence Ferguson. They have some confidence in him, and that is true to a certain extent, and they pass the ball to Hustis. But look at them with Brewer, and listen to them talk about Brewer, and listen to them talk about like what a veteran he is and how they all knew the kinds of things he could do. And, Patrick Patterson said, I always hated playing against Corey Brewer because you knew that energy was going to be there every night. He was always going to have it. And so, these guys have a different level. It's weird to think about a guy who's not like – it's not like he's been a big-time scorer or whatever. But I think they knew maybe deep down, and nobody would ever say this, but I wonder if they kind of – I don't say I think they did, but I wonder if they did kind of look at the roster and say – we don't have a guy. We can't replace Robertson with a guy. There's not one of these guys can't do what he was doing. And now suddenly you got this guy coming in who is doing a lot of what he was doing. He's a different player, but he's bringing you a lot of that same stuff. And I do think it's kind of gotten a little extra juice.
Well, they said that as much. They said nobody's going to replace what Andre does.
Yeah.
And I mean, you could see the way that this Thunder offense was functioning, in the 10, 12 or so games they had without Robertson prior to after his injury, it just didn't look the same. Weren't playing with the same juice. They weren't running at teams the way that they were previously.
Yeah.
I mean, intermittently it would happen, but it just wasn't as consistent. And, Corey Brewer's just brought life back to this team. And, you can say it's sad that it took Corey Brewer to do it. But I also think that Corey Brewer was significantly out of his element in Los Angeles. And you wrote about this.
I've got a lot left over from that too, that I'll use at some point. But one of the things he told me, it was just like the way he's shooting the ball. He told me that, I didn't score 50 for no reason, I can score. He needed to get into a better situation, and he was really hungry to prove that he could thrive in another situation, and he liked a lot of the situations he could have gone to, but he liked this one the most because he looked at the things Robertson did, and obviously Billy Donovan is a huge, it's more than 50% of the reason, I think, but in terms of the fit, he just thought, he looked at what Robertson did and thought, I can do that stuff. I can do what they need me to do.
There were a lot of times in the game against Toronto, and this is another reason why this is so promising to me for the Thunder, is there were a lot of times where I thought, okay, this is where they lose the game.
Yeah.
When Corey Brewer goes out with the two fouls,
yep,
and they got to go to Hustis early, I'm like, okay, this is where it's going to happen.
Yep.
When the second unit gets run and Toronto starts 20-4 in the second quarter, I'm like, okay, this is where Toronto puts their foot down.
Yep. I thought the same thing. And I also thought that at the beginning of the fourth quarter, I thought it's a one-point game. They needed to be up. Because now you're going to get the two benches going against each other again, and this isn't going to work. Like Toronto's going to go on a big run again. Instead, Raymond Felton didn't play a great game, but he had a good start to that fourth quarter. Like, he was good. The Raymond Felton isolation extravaganza sometimes is a little out of control, but he made some plays. They didn't get much offensive. They didn't get anything offensively out of Ferguson, but Abrines makes those two big shots, one of those with Westbrook on the floor. But they just kind of hung around there and did what they had to do to not let Toronto's bench run away. And that's you're right. There was just a whole lot of times where you thought it was a really good effort, but this is the end of this.
Yeah. And even when Lowry and Jonas go to the bench with four fouls and the Thunder doesn't, you know, extend, they don't close as much as they should, or they don't get a lead in that stretch. I'm like, okay, they had their chance. Lowry's going to come in here and hit some threes and it's going to be a wrap. But
Yeah. I also thought the Paul George's fifth foul, I thought, was like a situation where, like, well, this is going to be tough. Now they're going to have to play somebody they don't want to play. Because the reason you leave Paul George in, some guy was getting on me about this, about leaving Paul George in the game. The reason you leave him in with four is, one, four is not that many in the NBA. Two, you're going to play him some more. So, like, you're going to leave him out there. You're going to play him a little bit more. So you're leaving him out there at the end of the fourth for those last, like, 20 seconds, because you are at the end of the third, because you're expecting to play him to start the fourth. That's why you're doing it. And also, like, look, I'm as complimentary of Paul George as anybody. That was stupid. He can't do that. Like, you got to trust that your player won't make that foul.
Yeah.
I mean, and then Kyle Lowry did it later, too. It's a bad play on his part for his sixth. You know, like, you can't be fouling that way offensively. It's just you can avoid those fouls, and you have to avoid them.
Yeah, it's the same thing we saw when, you know, Billy Donovan kind of pseudo threw Steven Adams under the bus when he picked up, I think, a fourth foul in a game where they were just, you know, annihilating Memphis on the road.
Yep.
Steven Adams goes off. They've been getting tons of three-point looks off of his screens and just off of his movement. And then he goes out and Memphis makes a run. And Billy Donovan's like, look, you've got to be smarter than that. You can't pick up those stupid fouls and put the offense in jeopardy.
Yeah. All right, Eric, I'm going to do something pretty selfish right now.
All right.
I'm going to call it a night on this podcast because the battery's getting low and I just don't want to have to restart and record a very ending, you know, like the battery dies, then I got to get new batteries and call you back and get everything done just so we can say goodbye. So I think we should just say goodbye.
I'm going to counter your selfishness real quickly. I want you to talk a little bit about the Corey Brewer story you wrote because I thought it was one of the better stories we've done for the Oklahoman this season. And people should really check it out on newsk.com, on Brett's Twitter page, on mine, whatever. Just tell people a little bit about what you wrote about Corey Brewer leading into this game for Sunday.
Yeah, I just wanted to write a story about, you know, we knew it was a Sunday coming up, and that's just kind of natural. You write a Sunday story about the new guy because you haven't written a whole lot about that guy. So, you know, I just set out to write a story about the fact that he's funny. And it's hard to write a story about a guy being funny because you need people to tell you actual funny anecdotes. And most people will tell you, yes, like, why is a guy funny? And people say, like, I don't know, man, he just always makes me laugh, and they can't tell you great stories. So I was just trying to get a sense of how he got to be that way without, maybe if I wouldn't have examples, but like what made him funny, what made him lighthearted. And I have a good friend, Jerry Brewer, who is a columnist at the Washington Post. He is Corey's cousin and he's known Corey for a long time. And he told me some stories about him. And he's the one who told me that the family was related to John William Rogan, the tallest African-American man ever. 8'9" guy died in 1905. And like that, he's like kind of a legend and the fact that Corey's related to him. So I wanted to call his mom about that. And it ended up kind of turning into a different kind of story than I thought because his mom told me a lot about the fact that his laughter and his smile and the way he sort of stays upbeat and positive comes from his dad, his late father, who died of complications from type 2 diabetes, had both his legs amputated at some point, two different times, lost some of his eyesight, and just never stopped being like a jovial guy to be around from all accounts. Just was always a fun guy, a funny guy. He and Corey liked to laugh together, and Corey would come back from college and sit on his dad's lap. And his mom said you would think there were 1,000 people in the house, the way those two would just, they'd be so loud when they were laughing. And so, yeah, it just kind of turned into a story like that. And those are fun stories to write because you kind of, you learn a little bit about somebody and you get to share something that's not. Like sometimes when we tell people about these guys off the court, it's like he did a nice charitable thing, and those things are cool, but like this is a little different. I like that kind of story when you can get it. And so his mom was just so helpful and Jerry was helpful. And so it just, I got really lucky. It was a good set of circumstances and like an easy thing to write about. And like, shout out to Corey Brewer who tweeted a link to it. So thanks to him for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Corey Brewer making big contributions for the Thunder on the court. And, you know, he's an interesting figure off the court. And I think you did a great job of kind of putting that into perspective for people. Cause we've been hearing for, you know, since he's been here, everybody says this guy's funny, but it's right. What kind of funny is that? Like,
funny how? It like
was,
a clown?
It was
like he makes you laugh?
Yeah, it was just like the Goodfellas scene. It's like, funny how? Like, I don't understand. But I think you went even beyond that in figuring out where it originated from. You know, I don't know if we're ever going to know whether or not Corey Brewer makes crazy jokes or whether or not, like, he farts on airplanes and people think it's funny.
Like, is his Billy Donovan impression funny? Because Billy said, like, he was telling the guy stuff that Billy told him and, like, in recruiting him. But I don't know, like, when he said that and the guys were laughing, was he, like, impersonating Billy? Or did Billy just do things that were funny? I don't know.
Exactly. There's so many different branches of funny. But yeah. To find the origin of funny and to find a really, you know, intimate story about Corey Brewer and his origins, I think you really hit on that, like, just dead on. It was great.
Thanks. I love writing.
Everybody should read it. Everybody should give it a look. And, you know, since you guys love Corey Brewer so much, you'll enjoy reading about him, too.
Superstar Corey Brewer, greatest shooting guard in the NBA or something.
Corner three maestro, the Ray Allen of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Man, he was fun today, too. He was just fun to watch play because he did craziness again. He's, like, wild and out of control sometimes and, like, real locked in sometimes. He's just fun to watch. He's always so active and he's always, like, talking. Like Billy Donovan said, I kind of talked to Billy off to the side about him a little bit, and that's when Billy told me the story that he was going to go pro. And his dad convinced him not to go pro after his sophomore year. And he was going because of his dad's illness. But when we were talking about that, Billy also said, you know, like he's got a game that's like his personality. Like he is the same guy, the same way he plays, this sort of like boisterous, energetic, really sort of entertaining and goofy way he plays. Like that's who he is.
All hail Corey Brewer, savior of the Thunder.
It's great. All right. Boston on Tuesday. I will be there. Fly down tomorrow, so I'll be in Boston. We'll have something else to talk about. We'll see how Boston goes, see if the Thunder can get a two-game sweep of this road trip. That would be really big coming back for, I think it's Miami on Friday. So we will talk to you after that. Thanks to everybody for subscribing and rating us and reviewing us. If you haven't done that, you can do that at Apple Podcasts for us. We'll be back and talk to you after Boston, and we will see you then.